You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. It's a little bit of quiet time here in the NFL. We've talked about that quite a bit. So it's time to talk about some teams as they head to training camp. We're doing a training camp preview of sorts here for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. We've dusted off two divisions here, asked the core questions. Three per team, surrounding all the teams in the NFC East. We just finished the NFC North, looking at the Vikings. Now it's time to turn our attention to the NFC South, and we'll turn the page eventually to the AFC, and we'll get to all 32 teams here and break down the three key questions surrounding these teams. And usually we tie them in with the quarterback, running back, and receiving core. And we'll do that as well with the Atlanta Falcons, today's team of the day, as we kick off another division here in the NFC. So 8 down, 24 to go here for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available for you on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Fantasy Football listeners will get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. Use the promo code Locked On at checkout to take advantage of that amazing offer from BlueNile.com. All right, it is the Atlanta Falcons spotlight time. So let's ask our basic question number one. It's actually a two-parter here. Will Desmond Ridder actually have a chance to start at quarterback for the Falcons? And will him or Marcus Mariota, will either of them have any fantasy football value other than the occasional one-week stream here as a deep QB2, really looking even as a QB3. So multi-layered question there, but Marcus Mariota will go in as a starter right now. He has that history with Arthur Smith. They were in Tennessee together. So their head coach, the offensive-minded head coach, brought in Mariota rather quickly after that they made that trade with the Colts, so moved Matt Ryan here. So Mariota was the quick choice here to rebound. He was a free agent with the Raiders behind Derek Carr. So he's in there, but a lot of the reason they took Desmond Ridder as a sleeper there as a potential successor long-term for Matt Ryan was the fact that he had some of the skill set of Marcus Mariota, very good leader, played a lot in college, was very athletic, has a pretty good arm, and can spread the ball around here. So a lot of attributes that Mariota has, Ridder has. So that says that the Falcons at some point are going to make the transition. In this current state, from Mariota to Ridder, Ridder could also fall flat, or Mariota just could not inspire to the point where the Falcons fully focus their attention on getting a quarterback in the 2023 draft early. The Falcons figured to take a lot of lumps here as one of the worst teams in the NFL, so they might have those opportunities, but they also might find out that Ridder has some potential as their franchise quarterback at some point this season. So as much as they want to go for Mariota with familiarity, and that could happen definitely early this season, you figure they have to evaluate Ridder at some point this season, especially if they don't win a lot of games, and that's an expectation. The Falcons simply do not have a talented roster overall to really compete much in the NFC South. So at some point, you think they have to turn the page. And we also know what happened with Marcus Mariota in a different situation in Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill came in. He was a veteran, and he offered an alternative there. First came in as a backup. So a little bit different in that sense, but Ridder is a very polished player. Played a lot at Cincinnati. They won a lot of games. So profile there. He didn't win the Heisman the way that Marcus Mariota did, but Mariota also played in a championship game there with Oregon. So a lot of things to like in the Desmond Ridder makeup and skill set. And we also know that Mariota, even though he's been a mobile quarterback, hasn't been really called upon much to run and doesn't have much value there. He's a very good red zone thrower. That's about his strength here, short to intermediate passer. Ridder, I think, has a stronger arm overall and can open things up in the Falcons' offense. The problem right now, without Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones in the rearview mirror, Russell Gage not in town, Falcons trying to string together enough veteran wide receiver help beyond first-round pick Drake London. We'll get into him eventually here in the show and look at what the receiving corps might do. But that is a limitation there where we want to avoid the Falcons quarterback. You look at Kyle Pitts at tight end. So I'm not buying that the Falcons are going to be useful more than in a handful of games. Maybe they get the right defensive matchup and you're desperate on a bye week, and then you can look at the Falcons quarterback situation. But it's a low upside passing game. It should be a run-heavy team here based on what they have. I just don't see a lot of offensive explosion here downfield from Atlanta. So the big question with Mariota and Ridder, yeah, Ridder could start at some point. Mariota figures to start early, but either one of them doesn't seem to have any buzz for fantasy football, and rightfully so. There's just not a lot here. This Falcons offense, there are some question marks still about the offensive line. Pass protection holding up after Matt Ryan was beat up the past few years. So a lot of question marks whether the Falcons can push the ball downfield with anyone here. I just don't see the numbers being valuable enough. And then you look overall the big picture. If there's a transition from Mariota to Ridder, you're going to have two different guys in the mix. You're not sure who to put in there at certain times of the year. I think it'll transition at some point to the rookie. But, again, we don't know when that is, and we just don't expect a lot of numbers here. So Mariota, if he was a guy that could run a little bit more, we know that's a bit of a cheat code for fantasy football production. We'd go in that direction, but we are not comfortable with that. So Ridder has a lot more appeal in that sense because I think he will take off and run a little bit more. The natural part of the offense, they'll incorporate it then. So Meredith has almost no fantasy value or interest to me. If Ridder gets in there, it's a wait-and-see approach depending on the matchups and when that happens and if the Falcons can get more than we think out of their receiving core here in 2022. So there you have it. There's breaking down the initial question surrounding the Atlanta Falcons. It's not the biggest question that we're looking at in fantasy football. We'll explore those two in our next two segments here as we do this with all 32 teams. We're, again, nine teams in here looking at the Falcons. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, and now it's possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why are there often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Again, mobile device is going to help you get the right auto parts there. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store car dealership? I had to find some tough parts here. I needed a side mirror cover for my Ford C-Max. I needed an interior console cover for my Honda Accord. They had everything for me, and they have everything you could need as well. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Check it out. All their prices are reliably low for every customer, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or someone who just wants to get the right part to fix your car. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car. Truck, right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. You will find them all at rockauto.com. All right, it is time to continue the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We will continue to look at the Atlanta Falcons, the three key questions we asked about the quarterback situation with Mariota and Ridder. First, now we're going to turn to the ambiguity involving the Atlanta running backs here in our next segment. One thing I do have to remind you of, whether you're a fan of the Atlanta Hawks or any team, one live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. The entire NBA channel is going live on NBA draft night, so if you have a favorite NBA team, such as the Hawks, make sure you subscribe now to their Locked On YouTube channel so you get notified when they go live on NBA Draft Night, which is tonight here as we record this show. All right, let us continue looking at the Falcons. The next question we have on our mind, Cordarrelle Patterson, will he continue to get a feature-like role in the backfield? This is an unclear situation here because let's look at the backfield behind Cordarrelle Patterson. Damien Williams, the swing backup that's had a career there with the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Bears, he's now their number two. You have Tyler Allgeier, a power back from BYU. He's their number three. And one of their holdovers is Kadri Ollison. He's their number four running back. So there's not a lot there. Williams has had his moments, we know, especially with the Chiefs filling in when needed. But he's also fallen out of favor pretty quickly. He wasn't the guy there in Chicago last year behind David Montgomery. We saw Khalil Herbert have a lot of buzz. Williams lasted for one game with some value, but he faded pretty quickly here. So Williams might be wearing down a little bit. Allgaier comes in with fresh legs. He's a power back here. And Olsen has hung around here because he does the little things well while other guys have kind of disappeared here. They moved on from Mike Davis, who didn't quite work out. That's why they had to go to a lot of Cordero Patterson. So the biggest question mark here with Patterson is he going to be needed more as a wide receiver? I just don't see that sudden change here because Patterson is best known, even in his best days, as a return man and a guy that you can give the ball to in the open field. He looked really good as a running back, overextend himself, but he's getting up there in age. You don't want to necessarily give him massive touches every week, so there's going to be some relief here. And Allgaier is the guy that they can pound between the tackles. Damon Williams, again, very good receiver, so it could be a little bit more of a committee approach here as Smith realizes maybe he can run the ball with different guys here and doesn't have to rely so much on Patterson and get another dangerous weapon in the shorter passing game. So my take on this is the Falcons don't want to have Patterson touch the ball that much. They know he's not a traditional back. They'd prefer to be more diverse about their portfolio and use Patterson in more of the gadget role and not rely on that as much. But again, we didn't think that was going to happen last year either. That happened. So it's going to be out of necessity if that happens. So we're going to watch what Williams and Allgaier do, especially here. If they can form a good 1-2 punch, Williams, the savvy veteran they can trust on third downs, pass protection, and receiving, Allgaier that they can pound in the situations to get short yardage near the goal line, then they were going to relieve a little bit what Patterson's going to do and make this a full-blown committee. So Patterson will still get his backfield touches. They're certainly not going to pivot from that totally, but they did take their time in re-signing him. Part of it is the age and durability wear down here of Patterson. That can he hold up like this? It's a unique role. He did well in a pinch when needed. He was the ultimate team player for them, but again, not the ideal scenario for the Falcons. So I think as much as possible, they need Patterson to do a little bit more of his wide receiver skill set here than contribute in the backfield. So be wary of drafting Cordell Patterson as aggressively as an RB2. And the Falcons ideally do not want to give him that key role here. They added some bodies, so it's a little bit weird because none of these guys you feel is just going to simply take over. We thought the Falcons might actually draft a more dedicated, clear-cut feature back here, such as a Breece Hall. That didn't happen either. So again, I would lean that this lines up to a committee there with Patterson, Williams, and Allgaier being different participants here, and Patterson maybe going back to being a change of pace while Williams and Allgaier do the situational committee and split it there, and Patterson gets limited touches in the mix with them. So a lot of things to be seen here, but we're going to pay attention in training camp with the running back reps for sure and whether Patterson gets some more work at wide receiver playing off Mariota. But why this is very important is the Falcons are a high upside passing game, or say a high upside running game, I'll say that, not passing game. Their passing game is pretty low here, so the volume is going to be in the running game. So let's get that clear. And again, Mariota is not going to contribute too much to that. Ridder could change the narrative on that too, with quarterback helping the running backs, but there's going to be some room to run. The Falcons are better at doing that. That's where the production came. Patterson had the most fantasy football relevance of anyone last year. So we're going to watch it carefully how the reps could break down. Do they go sign someone and change it up a little bit more here if they're not happy with this combination? So a lot of things to watch out with the Falcons. But again, they should be a run-heavy team with Smith setting up downfield. Play action, the problem is, again, not having those reliable receivers yet. They do have some options here, but the one big question we will answer in our final segment surrounding their best receiver, and it's not a wideout with Ridley gone, but definitely tight end Kyle Pitts. So we'll talk about that in our final segment. From the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift for your taste buds. You probably tried the amazing Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built have given Coconut Brownie Chunk the Puffs treatment as well. That's right, the Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar flavor you love is now in a delicious, chewy, marshmallow-covered 100% chocolate treat. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They're good for you. Low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and all delicious. Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs are only here for limited time. There's a lot of special flavors coming out. This is one of them. Go to Built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is also good for you. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they are actually good for you. They are the perfect treat, perfect when you've got a craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you Need a quick, healthy snack? They're an excellent source of protein for you. Delicious coconut, rich sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's the promo code LOCK15, only at Built.com. All right, it is time to close the show here, looking at the third key question surrounding the fantasy football prospects of the 2022 Atlanta Falcons. We looked at Mariota versus Ritter, the quarterback battle that will be in progress through the season. Cordarrelle Patterson, if he's going to stick in that role as their primary runner, is it going to be more like committee? Now let's focus on their top receiver. No, it's not their first-round rookie, Drake London. I think he's a work in progress right now with his size, speed, kick capacity. He can be a special receiver in time, but the focus goes on Kyle Pitts. He's a Pro Bowler as a rookie. I think he really struggled as a rookie because there was attention on him from the get-go. Calvin Ridley was out of the mix. Now Ridley's gone here in 2022 with the suspension for the gambling off the field. So it's now Kyle Pitts. He's now backed up by a former Titan, Anthony Firkser. So a little bit of familiarity with the Arthur Smith system. But Firkser, we know, didn't do much when he had an opportunity last year. Didn't quite materialize. So we're not going to buy into Firkser having a key role here with Kyle Pitts. Again, Drake London's a rookie. It's going to take some time. And also, Mariota is not that downfield thrower. So that aspect of London's game is not going to be there. He's got a big catch radius as well, the way that Kyle Pitts has, but Mariota, what is he known for? Red zone, short to intermediate. So he's going to trust the tight end quite a bit here. He had good success. Remember Delanie Walker. So that carries over with the Pitts-Firkser system here and the play calling of Arthur Smith. So it really lines up well for Pitts here, the change from Matt Ryan to Mariota. Matt Ryan did target Pitts quite a bit, but the numbers could have been better. I think Mariota will more lock into him where you don't have a lot of other options. There's no Russell Gage either now. So and people are going to be overhyping Drake London. I didn't think he deserved to be the number one wide receiver off the board ahead of Chris Olave and Jameson Williams and what you had with the great team there in the past with these wide receivers. But you really look at this Falcons team. Again, Drake London, I would not jump on him having a big role here in 2020. Two, I think he's going to have to adjust to Mariota. That's going to be a tough thing for him to do as well. So I think what you're going to see most here is a lot of Kyle Pitts, a lot of that targeting. So the volume is going to be really high. So when you look at the top tight ends on the board, Travis Kelce is going to still be up there. Tyreek Hill's gone, so that should boost his value for sure. George Kittle, if he stays healthy, is going to be a monster there, along with Mark Andrews. Both those guys are right there in the mix as a top three. But who comes in after them? Kyle Pitts, with the volume and his key role in the offense, the number one target. He was the fourth overall pick last year, a higher pick than London. So he's the main man in the number one. What they're going to use London quite a bit is to divert the attention. Someone's going to have to make up for the size, speed, and catch radius and coverage there to play off Pitts. So that's going to help that somebody can relieve the coverage, because it happened last year where Pitts was lined up all over the formation. He was treated like a wide receiver, and teams kind of double-teamed him and took him out of games, even though he was a rookie, because there was no Ridley or no other threats here. So London provides just enough of a threat there that you're going to have to account for him. He's a tough guy to cover. You're going to have to invest some big bodies toward containing him downfield. So that's going to help. We also don't have a lot else going on here. Olamide Zaccheaus is their slot guy. They picked up Bryan Edwards in a deal from the Raiders here to be their number three guy on the outside. So London, Zaccheaus, and Edwards are the top of their depth chart. You have Auden Tate, the former Bengal, Damir Bird, he's bounced around, Kadarrelle Hodge, former Brown. You have another former Titan in the mix in Cameron Batson. You have Geronimo Allison, remember him, the former Packer and Lions receiver. And then you have Frank Darby, who's kind of faded here. This offense really deep and may not make the team here. So they've lined themselves up with options here behind Drake London, Zaccheaus being the returning guy, and Zaccheaus kind of profiles similar to Adam Humphreys, where that was a key target for Mariota and that offense in the middle of the field when not working the tight end. So Zaccheaus has a little bit of value there working in the middle of the field. London provides that coverage attention guy on the outside with his size. So that all lines up very nicely for Pitts to take better advantage of it. So you're going to have a lot of the running game. You're going to have a lot of short to intermediate throwing. You're going to have some calculated passing from Mariota all over the field, all the way through the red zone. That would say that here, that you're going to definitely go with Kyle Pitts having a monster season. I mean, the targets were pretty high last year. The touchdowns, I think, will go up with Mariota targeting him a little bit more. Again, they could also peel back on Patterson and working him, pounding him in between the tackles to try to score, and you'll see a little bit more of Allgaier. So more throwing in the red zone here for the Falcons as well. Mariota is very capable of that. He also is very careful with the ball where he doesn't turn it over and can throw those balls into the end zone without being picked. So that's also going to help Kyle Pitts. So everything should go up for Pitts here. He's just too talented of a guy. He's enough of a wide receiver tight end hybrid here. I know you're only going to get a credit tight end, but he's easily the fourth tight end that I want to target here on the board. I think he's going to have a massive role here, and really he's going to lead this receiving corps. So when you look at those other guys, I mean, Kittle does have some competition from Debo Samuel in the mix in terms of producing. But you look at Travis Kelce, no Hill, he's in a great spot. Mark Andrews is still the primary guy with Rashad Bateman now as number two with Hollywood Brown gone. So Kyle Pitts lines up right with those guys with the level of talent. Pass catching volume is going to come through here for the Falcons in 2022. All right, there you have it. Those are the core questions here for the Falcons. And not a team that you're going to target for big fantasy value, but Pitts and however you can find a sleeper in the backfield, and maybe stashing Ridder in the second half could get you some points there. But really looking at Kyle Pitts being the biggest fantasy asset by far here without Calvin Ridley playing for Atlanta in 2022. Thanks so much for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. Now make your second listen to the Locked On NFL podcast, where national NFL experts and insiders keep fans dialed in with the biggest stories and latest news from around the league, because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. For this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We wrapped up our look at the Falcons' key questions. Next up, we'll go still more NFC South with the Carolina Panthers.